All right, this week's episode of Magnify, we're joined by the broker success manager for Everydoor, Colin Parker-Stevens. Welcome, Colin. Thanks for joining.
Paolo, thank you for having me.
So I always like the guests to give a quick 30-second intro about who they are, what they do, because I figure you're going to do a better job than I am. So if you want to just give the audience a little bit of a spiel about who you are and what you do in real estate, and we'll kind of jump into the combo.
Happy to do it, man. So I am from the Emerald City of Seattle. That is the nickname for Seattle. And I moved from the Emerald City to Kansas and then back to the Emerald City. So I'm kind of like Dorothy in reverse, if you're familiar with The Wizard of Oz. On my trip back from Kansas to the Emerald City, I stopped off in Hollywood and I was a filmmaker for a number of years and went to school at Chapman University and studied film there. I was doing the film gig and was an executive assistant at an ad agency in Hollywood and made the decision to move back home to Seattle and move back up and took on an executive assistant job in real estate. So I kind of fell into real estate and then I fell in love with real estate. Yeah. So I was working for a smaller team, ultimately moved into the sales side. So I was a full-time resale agent. And started developing as a coach and a trainer and really saw a need for solid training in the real estate space. I think a lot of very talented people enter the industry and aren't actually given the tools to succeed. And so long story short, I met these guys over at Everydoor and they said, hey, we've been noticing your coaching content. We think you're really talented. Why aren't you doing that full time? And I didn't have an answer for them. And I said, well, what are you thinking? And they said, well, come back in a couple weeks, talk to some of our newer agents, find out how we could better onboard someone. And I said, okay. And I'll be honest, Paolo, I was like lit up. Like I was in love. I was building curriculum. I was pulling on sales resources from the past, different methodology that I had learned. And I was putting it all together into a nice package. And they saw what I had produced and they're like, let's roll with this. So that was my not so short introduction.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Hopefully I covered what you were hoping for me to cover.
Yeah, definitely. Man after my own heart. I come from the health and fitness coaching background originally, and same as you, kind of just fell into real estate. So where did that love for you for coaching come from? Were you just kind of gravitating towards helping other agents, or were you coaching in a different industry? And you said you put out content. What was the content?
Yeah, man. So like a big guiding principle for me is service, right? And just a part of my makeup. Service is a non-negotiable for me. And 2020 hit, right? And I couldn't be of service in the ways that I typically could because you couldn't go out and you know be in your community and volunteer at different things because we didn't know kind of what all was going to come of this situation. And so because service is a non-negotiable for me, I still found opportunities. I would call elderly folks and talk to, you know, at-risk elderly folks. They would get lonely. So you'd call them during COVID. I did food delivery for high-risk seniors. So I did some service. But I wasn't doing service at the level I really wanted to, right? And so I started creating these videos and just putting them out on Instagram and YouTube. And they were just about really messages of hope, right? I thought, how can I be of service to people? I'm a good communicator. I'm good on camera in my background in film and television. So I thought, why don't I just start producing messages? And the intention was never to go viral. I wasn't trying to push them anywhere. It was really just to push out to my community ideas of hope. And as often happens, man, when your principles are clear, which was being of service, doors just open, right? And so Jason and Lindsay, the owners over at Everydoor, saw what I was doing and just thought like, hey man, you should be doing this for us. So I'm super grateful for that opportunity. Your question about coaching, you know, I was an athlete growing up and I'm a football man. I loved American football. That was my thing. But you can't tell through an audio format, which we're on right now, but I'm not 6'4", so I wasn't playing in the NFL, right? And so I pretty early on started recognizing that coaching was probably going to be a more likely avenue for me if I was to stick into football. So I was always really listening to how coaches coached. I was always listening to how they motivated people and how they dealt with different personality types and how what motivated me might not motivate the guy next to me and how they would negotiate that, you know? And so I started, and I had the great fortune to be coached by some really incredible coaches in high school. And I think I just became a sponge for that. Additionally, on a personal note, I always wanted a younger sibling because I think I always wanted someone to like kind of bring along into the world and show how the world worked. And I didn't end up having a younger sibling. And so I think, you know, in some ways there's been this internal want to help others to clear a path for them. And coaching has allowed me that opportunity to clear the path for others. Ultimately, they have to do the work, right? But it allows me to clear that path for them. So, yeah.
Okay. You know, as someone who's an oldest child, I've got two younger siblings, I can tell you they don't listen to you anyway. So you haven't missed out
any of that. Excellent.
You know, it's funny, I just finished a book called The Trillion Dollar Coach by Bill Campbell. Okay. He worked with Steve Jobs and the guys who founded Google. Great book. And on that topic, while we're here, what kind of resources do you tend to lean towards? Any good books or speakers that you recommend your agents listen to get them in the right mindset?
Gosh, so many. I am a huge fan of the Landmark Forum, which is a personal and professional development course. They do 3-day long courses all over the world. Huge fan of the work that they do. I have a bookshelf over here, man. I mean, I really love reading Daniel Pink, who does a lot of business training. Gosh, I mean, you name it, I've read it. I'm really into the Heath brothers, Chip and Dan Heath. They wrote a book called The Power of Moments and Switch that I think is exceptional. I've obviously read, Cialdini with his influence book that's been so important to people. I do James Clear with Atomic Habits. I love Jeb Blunt and some of his training around sales specifically. I'm just sitting here looking at my bookshelf right now. I'm a big fan of Jay Shetty, at least his book, Think Like a Monk, I found to be very impactful. But outside of that, Paolo, a lot of what I do is just being up to date on what's going on in the market. So I listen to, the Pivot podcast. I'm a big podcast fan. Listen to Scott Galloway. Anything he puts out, I listen to. I could go on and on. Arthur Brooks teaches a class at Harvard on happiness, and anything he puts out, I tend to absorb very quickly. So there's a tremendous number of people I admire.
No, I'd love to hear that. And I think it's great to I'm glad you went through your books there, because it's great for people just to kind of pick up on a couple. Maybe they've, I'm sure a lot of the agents listen to this have read Atomic Habits, so what does coaching or managing success at every door look like for you? Like, how many agents do you see in a given week? Is it more of they come to you when there's an issue, or are you more proactive about scheduling group meetings one-on-one? How's it all look?
Yeah, great question. So when an agent joins us, whether they've been in the industry for one day, one year, one decade, they go through a 12-week training program. And that 12-week training program really covers three areas. It's management, methodology, and mindset. Right. So when I say management, it's managing yourself like a business, time management, technology management, business management, relationship management, self-management, right? The next piece is methodology. And so if you've been in the industry for 10 years, I don't need to walk you through how to write a CMA or how to, show a home. But if you are newer to the industry, I'm going to walk you through the methodology, sales methodology that I believe in, and that we utilize here as a brokerage. And then the third piece is that mindset piece, right? So it's management, managing yourself like a business, methodology, that's the day in, day out of being a real estate agent. And finally, mindset, right? This can be an incredibly tough industry between the ears, right? And I truly believe what, in my experience, differentiates a good agent from a great agent and a great agent from an extraordinary agent is what's going on between their ears. I've brought on people here that have been in the top 10 producers in their first year in real estate. No background in real estate, no background in sales. They'll be in the top 10 in the company because of what's going on up top in their brain and how they pick themselves up and their mentality. And so I coach on those three areas. How that design is I would say about 95% of it's done over Zoom. However, Paolo, I don't just give them a bunch of videos and pat them on the head and say good luck. All of my training is done live, such that when they have a question, I can answer that question. They're going to learn from each other's questions, right? So-and-so's going to say, hey, how do I deal with this, right? And so there's a real group think that happens. I bring people on to talk about number of people I bring on. I bring on cohorts once a month. It's typically 3 to 9 people. They go through the training together. They have a weekly group coaching session. So there's the training, which is more the methodology. And then there's the group coaching session, which is more management and mindset. And those group coaching sessions are 45 minutes long. There's a core coaching curriculum that's sequential. So week one builds to week two to builds to week three. So that's the first 15 minutes. The next 15 minutes is we walk through their goal sheet. So I built out this goal sheet that we walk through, and it allows them to hold each other accountable. And then the final 15 minutes of that 45-minute group coaching session is just open. It's like, what are you all dealing with? What are your client or contract-related questions that are keeping you up at night? And so that's the coaching component. And then the training, as I said, it's on Zoom. It's typically 3 to 4 times a week. And it is all on the methodology. How do I show a home? How do I do an open house? How do I get a buyer off the fence? How do I get a seller off the fence? Some of that day in, day out nuts and bolts of being a real estate agent. I would say that like right now I have 19 people in my 12-week training program. So some people are in week 2, another cohort is in week 8, and another cohort is in week 11. So that's kind of the cadence is once a month I bring on a new cohort.
And then once they're through that training, is there kind of extra stuff you're doing brokerage-wide or team-wide? How's that all shape out?
Great question. Yeah. So we do company-wide coaching every Wednesday. We have a team huddle and then we have company-wide coaching, and you're welcome to come to that. You're not required to come to that, but that is company-wide and it's on Zoom. So yes, additionally, once you're through that 12 weeks, you are welcome to continue to put time on my calendar. I have an open calendar so people can put 15 minutes on, you know, once a week or 30 minutes once a month or whatever, right? I'm still here to be of service to folks in terms of that coaching element for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You really do focus on the mindset, because that's something I've always preached. And actually, if you look back at the episodes I've done on this, a lot of it is with coaches and a lot of the talk is about mindset, because you can give people all the tools that, you know, and all the tactics, but if they're not going to actually implement them, then what's the point, right? Kind of obstacles have you found agents have struggled with in getting into the right mindset? Is it like fear, doubt, judgment? Like, what kind of stuff crops up pretty consistently?
You know, we are very intentional with our interview process, and I'll tell you the thing that will have us not want to work with an agent is cynicism. Mm-hmm. So if there's a level of like, yeah, I don't really like people, or most people let you down, or most people, it's not the industry for you, my friend. It really isn't. No. You've got to love people. You've got to love people, because in this industry, you're going to see people at their best and you're going to see them at their worst. You're going to have people crying. You're going to have people yelling, and you've got to truly love humans to do this thing. Right.
Yeah.
And so for me, what I often recognize as a potential pitfall is that cynicism. And by cynicism, I just mean, I've already seen it all before, right? You've got to show up every day prepared to be knocked back by how amazing people are. Like, you have to show up open to be knocked back, you know, to be just totally knocked back and totally floored by the strength of the human spirit. And that could be a listing agent with whom you're negotiating, or it could be a seller that you're, you know, helping them sell their family home or whatever it might be, right? You've got to be prepared for that. I had this guy, he's very successful with us. He was in a group coaching session. He's actually been in the industry about 4 years, been with us for 4 years, and decided, he goes, I want to go back to the basics. I want to start the coaching curriculum all over again, right? And so he was in a coaching session just yesterday. And someone asked him, hey man, how often do you cold call, or how often do you pick up the phone and call like clients you haven't spoken to before, prospects? And he goes, you know, I do it. But the reason why I don't try to do it too much is I'm just lucky, man. Every time I pick up that phone, I end up getting a new client. Every time I pick up that phone, I end up getting a new client. And I stopped the coaching session. I said, everyone, the reason why this guy's name's Ryan, the reason why Ryan's successful, it's not his background in sales, although that helps. It's not some tips or techniques that he has, although all of those help. His secret weapon, he said he believes he's lucky. And so every time he picks up that phone, he's looking for evidence that he's lucky. He's just looking for that evidence, because for him, it's already a foregone conclusion he's lucky. He's just looking for evidence that he's lucky. If you pick up the phone and think this is a waste of time, you'll find evidence it's a waste of time, right? That's what we do.
Yeah.
We tell ourselves stories, and then we look for evidence to back that up. So if my story is, you know, this is a waste of time, or this relationship I'm in isn't working, or this friendship is no longer serving me, or this marriage I'm in is the best marriage I've ever been, or the best marriage I could possibly imagine, then you're going to seek out evidence of that. So to answer your question, Paolo, in a very roundabout way, what's going to hold someone back, what people have to get over, are the stories that are going on between their ears. The stories they tell themselves about who they are, the stories they tell themselves about who other people are, the stories they tell themselves about prospecting, sitting open houses. If they start telling themselves a story that it's a waste of time or that people stink or whatever it might be, man, that's going to be a real tough knot to untie.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of on that topic, what kind of traits have you seen with the more successful agents? What is it about their mindset, the things they do on a consistent basis? What's really the thing that makes them stand out?
It's that optimism. You know, it's that love of humanity. It's when you talk to someone and they truly just love other people, you know, and that I can't teach, right? Mm-hmm. That I can't teach. I referenced Daniel Pink earlier. He's got this amazing book that I'll bring to you. It's called To Sell as Human, right? One of the things mm-hmm. he talks about, and this is from research by Martin Seligman and Peter Shulman, who are kind of the godfathers of learned optimism and kind of the value of optimism, specifically in sales and other areas. And he talks about when you reflect on an experience today in the sales situation, do you reflect on this as a permanent event or a temporary event? So for example, you call a client, you've been going back and forth, they've wanted to write an offer, and then they said they're waiting for interest rates, and they're on the fence, right? And they call you and say, hey, listen, man, like we need a break. Can you just not call us for a month, right? Do you see that as a reflection of humanity at large, right? Oh, people are so fickle, people are indecisive, people let you down. Or do you think of it as temporary? Oh, this person's dealing with something right now, and it has nothing to do with me. And I'm going to show up next month when they ask me to, with a great attitude, fully prepared for them closing on a transaction, right? Like, do you see past rejection as permanent or temporary? And if you can see it as temporary, you likely have that optimism muscle. So for me, man, I'm always looking for optimism. I'm also, and I said this earlier, service is a non-negotiable for me. I am drawn to people who do service in their life. So if you're out there finding opportunities to be of service to other people, I'm probably going to want to partner with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that about finding the optimism. Something that I preach a lot is about just reframing things. Right? Like, because in that example, they could have taken it personally. It was about them, the service they were providing. Totally. But actually, it's just about the family's needs and whether they're ready or not. And as you said, you can start telling yourself a story and then get discouraged and everything kind of falls apart. I want to talk a little bit about, I don't want to go too much into it because things are still moving and
sure.
The DOJ hasn't weighed in, but timely, the NAR settlement, what have you been kind of coaching your agents through with this? Any, or if anything, like, is it just business as usual for you guys, and how are you kind of dealing with that as a brokerage?
So worth noting, Paolo, just logistically, we are in the NWMLS, which is one of the very few MLSs in the United States that is not a NAR-specific MLS. Mm. Okay, so while what's going on with NAR will impact us, it will not impact us as immediately and directly as it is with a lot of other MLSs. Okay. Now, that said, we have been, the NWMLS, which is the name of the MLS here, they've been in front of this, man. I mean, we've been disclosing buyer brokerage commission for like 3 years now. There's been an option for for sellers to not offer commission. That has been an available trait in our purchase and sale agreements for like 2 years now. So a lot of what was going on in these other MLSs, we saw it as, and by we, I mean the MLS up here, saw it as potentially predatory or potentially easy to perceive as predatory, whether it's predatory or not, we have to get into that, but they recognize that it could be perceived as that. And so they started taking proactive action 3 years ago. So all that to say, to answer your question, which was how are we coaching people? We are coaching them the same way that we always had, that you come from a place of service. You come from a place of optimism. You come from a place of controlling what you can control. I can't control what the DOJ is going to do, right? I can control, do I show up today ready to play? Do I show up today suited up? Do I show up today with my shoes tied, my head high, right? So that stays the same. What happened will happen. But there's that old saying, right? Like when you're pessimistic, you suffer twice, right? Because if the bad thing's going to happen, it's going to happen. If I am sad and pessimistic the entire way there, I'm suffering two times, right? So people think that being optimistic means not being realistic. That's not true, right? Wisdom is knowing the difference between what you can control and what you can't control. And for the things that you can't control, you need to be realistic about those. For the things that you can control, that's where you get to be optimistic. That's where you get to say, you know what? No, I'm going to look for the four-leaf clover. Regardless of the likelihood I'm going to find it, I'm still looking for it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. We've worked with NWMLS for years, and I've never realized that they weren't part of NAR. That's interesting. Just to piggyback off of that, and we'll move on, but do you have enough context to answer whether, because I know our listeners will want to know, with those changes that they made of giving the seller the option not to pay the buyer's agent, what kind of effects did that actually have on everything?
Around here, almost nothing. It had almost no difference. January 1 of this year, we rolled out, you have to get a buyer agency agreement signed in this state, in our MLS. You have to get a buyer agency agreement signed. That started January this year. We've seen no difference. We've seen no difference. Yeah. We just, you know, and listen, you sell newspapers or you get people to click through by it being really sensational. So I get it. I'm not here to disparage their techniques. That's the technique. It's got to be a big, bold, juicy headline. And that's what's going to get you to click. But I'll just tell you, on the ground here in an MLS that's been feeling or perhaps anticipating some of this and taking the requisite action, we're not seeing that big of a difference. You know, we just aren't. Are people asking more questions? And by people, I mean consumers. Are they asking more questions? Certainly, right? And all we do is continue to lead from a place of service and a place of value. You know, I spend a tremendous amount of time with my agents getting them to clearly articulate their value proposition. I cannot tell you, Paolo, how many... go ahead. What's the question? I want to answer it.
That was my next question, is how do you prepare your agents for those conversations? Because obviously it's not the same as, let's just jump in the car and go, we'll go and see this place. How are you kind of preparing them for those conversations?
We just don't. So I'll use the buyer agency agreement thing as a perfect example, right? We say, hey, listen, it really makes sense for us to go ahead and send over some disclosures to you. And that's just going to disclose how this process works, right? In our state, we're going to disclose how a home inspection works. We're going to disclose about agency laws. We're also going to have a form in there for you to sign that is a buyer agency agreement. It's just an agreement that I'm going to work in the best interest of you. And just to be clear, if you ever want to avoid that, all you have to do is send me something in writing saying you want to work with another agent. Totally fine. I'm here to earn your business, not to force you to sign something, right? And that's it. And 99.9% of consumers go, okay, right? Because if you've sufficiently convinced them you have value, then they're going to be okay with that, right? I want you to imagine, so this is going to go into value proposition. Can I share with you a little bit about how I teach my agents about value proposition? Because very often I talk to even agents that have been in the industry 10 or 15 years will say, give me your value proposition. And they'll go, well, you know, I really like people. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm a great negotiator. And all of that's fine, right? But I always have my agents touch on the three areas of value. And let me give you an example here to kind of parachute us into this conversation. So if I said, hey, Paolo, you should come to dinner with a group of us. If you're in town, you should come to dinner with a group of us. It's going to be a good time. You might come, right? If you're in town and you like the restaurant and you like the people that are going to be there, you might come to dinner. Now, if I said, Paolo, I'd love for you to come to this dinner. I'm inviting you because I trust you. And everyone that I'm inviting to this, I trust them deeply. And why that's important is I'm going to share something deeply personal about myself. And in doing so, you're going to learn something about yourself. You're going to learn something about being a human. You're going to learn something about real estate. Okay. Additionally, there's this world-renowned chef. They're doing a one-night-only tasting menu, right? And I promise you, the price per plate, it reflects that. But you know what? I'm paying. It's all on me. Eat whatever you want. I'm paying. You're going to that dinner. I don't even have to ask you if you're going to that dinner. You're going to that dinner, right?
Yep.
You're going to move heaven and earth to go to that dinner. Why? Because I provided you the three types of value. And the three types of value are emotional value, insight value, and tangible value. The emotional value, I trust you, and I'm going to share something deeply personal with you. insight value. In doing so, you're going to learn something about yourself. And tangible value, I'm paying, right? I'm paying.
Yeah.
Okay. Emotional value, insight value, tangible value, right? If you talk to a brand new agent and you ask them, what's your value proposition? It's all emotional. Well, I like people and I'm going to work really hard and I care a lot about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's great, right? And then they get a little bit of footing under them and they start to do a few transactions and then they start leaning on insight value. The third piece is that tangible value. No, really, like, what's your tangible value? And a lot of agents overlook that having a vetted lender list is a tangible value. Having a vendor list, having an inspector list, having a transaction coordinator, having showing assistance, all of that is tangible value. And we tend to overlook it. But I really work with my agents in creating that value proposition and make sure that they fully flesh out their emotional value, their insight value, and their tangible value. So for anyone listening to this that's an agent, write that across the top of a piece of paper. T-I-E. Tie them down with value. Tangible value, insight value, and emotional value. And fill that out.
I love that. And that allows you to then make it a personal pitch too, right? So you don't just sound like a robot. Before we wrap up, I just want to kind of get your insight on what you guys are doing in terms of generating business or helping your agents generate business. Where do you see the biggest opportunities? Is it within the sphere of influence people have, their social circles? How many of your agents are buying leads? What kind of tools are they using to engage with those leads? What's the kind of standard operating over at Every Door?
That's great. So when anyone walks in the door with us, we treat them like a $20 million producer. Okay. And what does that mean? It means when you walk in with us day one, you get access to leads from Zillow.com, Realtor.com, and Trulia.com. Okay. We pay for all of those. They're not paid for by the agent. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you walk in the door, you get brand new headshots, brand new business card, website, CRM, all provided for you day one. You get my coaching, which is not cheap, provided day one at no cost to the agent. We have built an in-house proprietary app that allows an agent to put forth the terms of an offer in less than 5 minutes. It's sent back to an operations team who produces that offer. And then it's sent back to the agent to review. They got to make sure it says what they want it to say. Typically takes less than 30 minutes for our team to produce that. They hit the green accept button. It's sent out to their clients to sign. We have showing assistance. We have over 130 agents in the area. Okay. And so what that means is if I've got a showing in another part of town and I can't be there, I go into the group chat, says, hey, who can open a door for me at 2 p.m. in Queen Anne, which is a neighborhood in Seattle. Someone says, I can do it. And that happens. And so all of that to say that we supercharge people's business from the beginning. So where are people getting leads? A big portion of that is through the company provided leads. Absolutely. Part of my training in depth is how to generate opportunities outside of just our leads, because you do not want to be entirely reliant on our leads.
No.
I tell agents that the pillars holding up your business, each pillar is a lead generation source. So if that's open houses, that's a pillar. If it's your friends and family, that's a pillar. If it's company provided leads, that's a pillar. If it's door knocking, that's a pillar. Like with any structure, the more pillars you have, the stronger your business, right? Do not allow yourself to get in a position where you're down to one or two pillars, because that puppy's going to crumble. It's not going to work. So I'm always working with them on expanding their number of pillars that are lead generation sources.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a bit of everything, and don't lose sight of, you know, you've got a bunch of spinning plates. Don't let one of them drop. Right. I think that's a mistake a lot of agents make, right? Is that they just focus on one thing. And then if that dries up, like you said, everything comes crashing down. Robert Refkin, the CEO of Compass, was talking at an event,
sure,
and he kind of referenced that he spoke to the top 1,000 agents of his at Compass about their business last year. And he said all of those transactional agents, the one who went with the leads and, you know, transacted, next sale, next one, all of their businesses were down. The agents that focused on their communities, their sphere, the ones who built relationships, all had 20% plus increases on the prior year. So to your point, you know, you have to be coming from a place of service. You can't just go after a name on a piece of paper and that be it, you know? Listen, man, this was a great chat. I think our listeners are going to get a ton of value from it. Where can people find you? Do you coach outside of Every Door, or are you just exclusive to them at this time?
I'm exclusive to them at this time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so exclusive. Sign up with Every Door, guys, if you want this coaching.
yes, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram. It's the day one, one being WON. So the day one. And I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. Come say what's up. You can also email me, Colin1LS@everydoorrealestate.com. Reach out. I definitely have done individual coaching sessions here and there. I'm happy to do that. But at this time I'm exclusive, Paolo.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great, man. Yeah. Thanks again.
Yeah, appreciate
that was
it.
Great.